wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of money.
Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and you're listening to Technory Live from WGN Radio. Sitting here with me, my guest host today, Book Cameo founder Steve Galanis.
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for taking the time today.
Glad to be here.
You didn't have anything else to do on a Saturday, did you?
Nope, but I'll tell you what, my mom's really excited for this. I did a podcast upstairs, and I forgot to give her a shout-out last time.
Oh, so yeah.
Had to make sure.
Let's get that out of the way first and foremost. We should shout-out to the moms. We appreciate everything that they do. My dreams would not be possible without my mom, so I'm sure the same are for you. So as I want to set the show for everybody, as always, we would love to have you call in 312-981-7200. Ask me questions, ask Steve questions, ask our call-in pitching companies questions, whatever you want to do. You can, of course, follow us and tweet at us at Technory, or follow me, DM me at Catoon. Steve, you want to throw out a Twitter in case people want to fire at you?
Yeah, absolutely. Mine's Mr312, but it's MR3WONE2.
Very cool. We got to work on that. Like, we got to get you a handle that's like just Mr. Steve. Like, is that, can we just get Cameo? Can we just do that?
No, we've been working on that hard.
Well, we'll talk about that another day. The main thing for the show for everyone to know is, if you haven't heard this show before, shame on you. But if you have, you know the deal. Steve and I are going to kick it for a little while and talk about what he does with Book Cameo. And then we are going to have the first call in from Silk Roll, who's going to call in and pitch. She's going to have 3 minutes to pitch Janet Wu for our money, essentially. And then Steve and I are going to kind of ask some questions. You guys are welcome to ask questions. So during the pitch, after the pitch, feel free to call in or to tweet at us questions, and we will ask them for you. And then we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to have another one, The Cut, who's going to call and pitch. And Steve and I are going to decide somewhere between now and then which one we want to put our money. I keep saying we, like I have a mouse in my pocket. Are you putting money? I think it's just me, right? Have you agreed to anything?
I mean, we'll see.
Listen, here's the deal. Republic is so easy to invest in that he has said he has no idea yet. All he has to do is register, hook up his credit card, and we can play ball. So I've got 40 minutes to convince him to put some money in this stuff. Anyway, let us get into the actual show, Steve. Tell us a little bit about Book Cameo and sort of your background, and then we will kind of set the tone so everyone knows who's sitting next to me.
Sure. So Cameo is a platform where fans can book personalized video shout-outs from their favorite people. We had this insight that selfies were the new autograph. And, you know, anytime we see somebody famous, like walking down Michigan Avenue out here, like when you or I were kids, we'd go up and try to get their autograph. Today, everybody's
a selfie.
Trying to take a picture. Yep. If it's not on Instagram, it didn't happen. Some big changes that we kind of see in the age of social media is that there's never been a wider split between the amount of followers somebody has and their ability to monetize. There's, you know, a few hundred thousand people out there with over 100,000 followers on Instagram, and, you know, really only the 1% of them are, like, making a sustainable living. You've got all these people with, like, massive followings, people that are super important to them, but, you know, really no real good way to monetize their social in a brand positive way.
Yeah.
Something that's not, you know, pimping out a protein shake or some product or selling merch, things that don't really matter. One of the things that's so cool about Cameo is, you know, on demand, people can like get this once in a lifetime experience from somebody, and it's personal.
It's literally not like you could argue like, oh, well, you know, 1,000 people got a hello from Patrick Kane. Not to you.
Yeah,
like, to you, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Right. It's kind of like if Patrick Kane was, you know, literally right here on Michigan Avenue right now, and you know, everybody got in line.
There's no bars on Michigan Avenue, so he's probably not.
He's down on Hubbard Street.
I'll see him very soon.
No, but, you know, if every single person that gets a selfie with Patrick Kane, to them, it's like, it's unique, it's theirs, and it's on their Instagram. And the other thing that's pretty cool about our platform is that the content gets disseminated not through the creators' social media feeds, but through the recipients.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I think it's obviously, you were on the stage at Technory already, so you already know how I feel about this company. I included in the Future of Media event that we had, which was attended by 485 people live in person, because it is, I think, like you said, the future of media. And it's so funny, not to go on a tangent away from what you do, but we've had lots of meetings with, you know, we're working on some new stuff that we're going to be producing. I don't mean Technory as a content side, but as like a management creation side. And one of the first things that I said was like, the biggest bottleneck I see, obviously, I think we're in the infancy of influencer marketing, but companies and influencers and traditional media are sort of stoked in the chance that they're flawed, I guess, in the way that they have to run volume. It's just got to be pushing stuff out regardless of quality. And as you said, like, they don't have to pump out a protein shake. Like, that is not going to help your brand. Totally. What's going to help your brand is you staying true and being like, listen, I want to connect with my audience. That makes them want to do more stuff with me.
Yeah, you got to take care of your fans.
Oh, 100%. So tell me a little bit about, like, your background on, like, how you get into something like this. Because this is not exactly the like, it's a great idea that I could see other people like, oh, yeah, cool idea. But how do you get there is a whole other thing.
Yeah, the story is actually pretty crazy. My co-founder, Martin, and I, we had the idea for this at my grandmother's funeral last October. And he flew in for the day. Martin was an NFL agent and repped a lot of, like, mid-tier, like, NFL players. So guys that were, you know, on the roster bubbles, like, they're on the Seattle Seahawks, but, like, they're not the superstar. And one of the things that happened that was pretty interesting is he was telling me that, you know, as he would appear in Instagram photos with, you know, his players, he would get DMs as the agent, like, people being like, hey, could you get Cassius Marsh to come do my kid's birthday party? You know, I'll give you $500 to do this. But we really realized that, like, from a B2C side, like, the fan side, it's really hard to get to the right person. Like, it's not public on who someone's agent is. And unless you really know that talent or you know their representation, like, getting to them is, like, incredibly.
Well, yeah, and you can, like, hit them up, like, DM and stuff like that, but it's the chances of getting through are... Yeah, tiny.
I mean, really, really tiny. So, so one thing that happened is we were driving. Martin wanted to go get a drink at Trump Tower, so I was taking him from Trump Tower all the way back to O'Hare. We're sitting in traffic, and he shows me this 10-second video. Martin's buddy's, like, pretty high up in Nike's marketing department. He's worked with some of the biggest athletes in the world. And when this guy had his first son, he's a diehard Seattle Seahawks fan. When this guy had his first son, Martin basically got that guy to create a 10-second personalized video for him, saying, you know, hey, Brandon, it's Cassius Marsh from the Seahawks. Heard about your son, Maverick. If he gets your athletic ability, he'll be playing for the Seahawks one day. Go Hawks. And you watch this video, this guy's...
Oh, I'm sure the kid goes ballistic.
I mean, he's got no, you know, he's got no shirt on. Like, he's driving the car. It's, like, so raw, so authentic. But the thing that really blew us apart, our minds, was when that guy put it on Instagram and said it was the best gift he's ever gotten in his life.
That's amazing.
And that got us to thinking, like, you know, this isn't Russell Wilson. This isn't, like, the best player of the team. This is just, like, you know, a pretty high up guy hearing from any Seahawk. And, you know, that got us to thinking, like, if this guy, you know, who has that 1% access to talent, if this guy thinks that, like, that's the greatest gift ever, what would any random fan feel that could never get that experience?
Pretty incredible. We are going to pick up with that. We're also going to have our pitch from Janet Wu coming up next. We're going to take a little break here. I'm Scott Catoon. This is Steve Galanis. You're listening to WGN AM 720. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Steve Galanis is sitting next to me, Cameo founder. So I want to set everybody up here. We're going to take our first pitch. She's going to have, well, it's co-founders. We're going to have Janet Wu and Eric Wold from Skillroll. Aaron Wold. I think I said Aaron, right? Or it just sounded like I said Eric. It's Aaron. Aaron Wold is going to be pitching with Janet Wu. They're going to have 3 minutes to tell us all about their company. But before they do, I will get this out of the way. You can, if you want to invest, they've raised about, looks like they've raised 181% of their goal. So they're about 90,000 raised. Only 4 days left to raise. So if you want to get and check it out now, go to republic.co/silkroll and you can learn more about it. You can also connect yourself by following Technori on Republic and, you know, invest right alongside of us. So without further ado, Janet and Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hi, Scott. Excited to be here.
Of course, this is going to be great. So here's the deal, in case you didn't hear me. You have 3 minutes to pitch exactly what you guys do, what your mission is, and so forth. And then Steve and I are going to crack a couple questions at you. And if anyone in the audience here wants to ask questions or talk, obviously call us at 312-981-7200, or you can hit us up on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. Janet, without further ado, what is Silk Roll?
Right. So Silk Roll is a digital currency marketplace to exchange products online. Starting with women's high-end fashion, we allow customers to trade in the fashion in their wardrobe that they're no longer wearing to earn points. And then they can shop with those points for new fashion. So it almost is like a frequent flyer miles for fashion. So and it's pretty simple to use. As a customer, you log on, create an account, and request a prepaid shipping bag from us. We send the shipping bag to you. You fill it up with the clothes that you don't want and ship it back to us. We assign you points based on their estimated retail value to your account. And then once you receive those points, you can start shopping right away. So the value proposition is that most women, right, has 80% of their wardrobe that they're not touching. And if they try to resell this or consign it, they're going to get maybe 10 cents on the dollar back. And that is a very psychologically unsatisfying experience. And that is the reason most of us hoard our stuff instead of trying to share it and you know, purge it. So with the points, the digital currency we've created, we give you back what you originally paid for in points. And also, we allow women to discover virtual closets, right, of other women online. So it's kind of like a clothing swap, but virtually and online. So over time, you start to find other women around the country who may have your same style, and you can follow each other and buy each other's clothes with points. And really is a way to refresh your entire closet without spending any extra money.
What was the impetus to start this company for you? I don't even know if I have to ask this question. I feel like I know, but I just want to hear it.
I was an investment banker for over 10 years, and I had lived, you know, pretty much all over the world. So before moving to San Francisco, I was in Hong Kong. So my wardrobe was filled with, you know, work, very professional workwear, summer dresses, and all of that. And when I moved out here, I realized more than 90% of my wardrobe was, you know, obsolete. I couldn't use any of it.
Flip-flops and a t-shirt.
Exactly, right? Except for a few pair of jeans and some, you know, sweatshirts and t-shirts. That's what I was using in San Francisco. And I realized I wasn't really satisfied with any of the other ways to purge it because I had really spent good money on it. And I know that somebody else out there will probably really want this and really appreciate this.
So one of the questions I want to kick to Steve, so we have a couple questions here, but the first question I have on the business side is like, just out of, I'm like a Donald Trump kind of germaphobe, where like I'm a total germaphobe, but then I'm kind of not a germaphobe. I'm wondering with this, like, how is the cleaning and things like making sure that people, like, once you buy it, like, is it like eBay? I buy it, I own it, it's over. Like, if it's got snags in it or it's dirty, like, that is what it is, or how does that work?
Yeah, this is Aaron, so I'll take that one. So We have an in-house curation team. So what we do when the garments come in, we actually inspect everything. If anything's, you know, torn.
Oh, so the garments come through you first.
Clean. Yeah, they do. We have a curation center, exactly. That's helpful. And then, yeah, so we do. So we qualify each and every product. We photograph it, we list it online. Why? Well, when we shop secondhand and you look at products that someone like threw on their dining room table and took a picture of it, it's not desirable at all.
Correct.
So, you know, we know that that's a really big, you know, it makes a really big difference to get these products recirculated.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is Steve.
Hey, how you doing? This is Steve. When people want to put their clothes in, do they send you guys the items first and then you've created their digital wardrobe, or is that, do they like physically hold on to it until somebody, you know, kind of bids on it?
Yeah. So everything gets sent in first. Right. So they basically purge everything and then we take care of the rest. So it provides a very easy onboarding experience for customers because, you know, a lot of our customers are professional women. They are busy. They have a life. They don't really have time to, you know, take photos and list things online and input the, you know, specs of what this is and how much it costs. We take care of all of that. And we've developed a proprietary curation system in-house to do it really, really fast. So we take it all on, and then we give them the points right away. So they just see the points in their account, and then they can start shopping.
Nice. That answers the question I had, because I was going to say, like, what happens if the stuff doesn't sell or whatever. So it's sort of on you to market the product then.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, we do everything in weekly batches. So everything comes in a week. We list it in a week. We drop new arrivals, and then the women are online right away, shopping as fast as they can to take what's there. So our, you know, our facility is in like a, you know, it contracts and it expands and it contracts and expands. And this way of doing these new releases weekly has been really cool to see and for us to learn very rapidly what people want.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's really a cool, like, what you're doing is what is kind of a differentiator to me, at least when I see this, it's interesting, is one, mm-hmm. you know, most places, regardless of what the business is, like clothing, shoes, hats, cars, whatever, it's usually the onus is on the individual who owns it to like sort of concession it. And then what I like about your business model here is I'm making an assumption here, so correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea that you guys have the onus to make sure that you have all the inventory, you control the inventory, it's your job to sell and move the inventory. But if you don't move the inventory, you've already given the points to it, so now you own it. You could probably take it and go to a place to sell it for obviously a lot less than you would make on it, but at least you cover some kind of cost. Like, you never lose, essentially. You've issued out points for something that you can always at least get something out of.
Yeah, we've transacted over $1 million worth of inventory in the last 2 years. We haven't paid a dime for the inventory.
That's amazing. Exactly. Holy cow.
Yeah.
How do you guys make money?
Yeah. Good question.
So that's always the best. We always end with that one. How do I get returns on this investment I'm going to make?
Exactly. Yeah. So we're a membership-based system. So you can become a member and pay a monthly subscription fee to use the service. We waive all shipping and any transaction fees. However, if you don't want to be a member and just want to test it out first, you pay a 5% transaction fee on the points that you redeem. So if you redeem 100 points,
you've got kind of like a semi-gate there. I like that. I think the one thing that stands out to this that's interesting to me is you talked about, I think it was Janet who said this, you were an investment banker, or were you both?
No, I wasn't. So I'm actually from Chicago. I'm from the Chicagoland area. I worked in automotive before.
Okay. Because I was just going to say, like, but see, like, this is the thing I think is cool about these companies, and this, not to say that I'm predicting success here, but I see one common trait among these type of companies that do well in that the background is usually math, money, management oriented, where they're like, I really don't care about what the product is. I just know that if I can get the supply from one person, I can manage the distribution. I can affix a price to it, whether it's coins or it's points or it's tokens or it's dollars. Mm-hmm. It just becomes a money game. It's a math game. It's a race. Can you get enough people to subscribe and move the inventory that was cost you nothing, $2 million of inventory that cost you nothing, and you can make money on it? I mean, it's a really brilliant design that's like, it could be a complicated company from a marketing standpoint, but the business operations seem to be really simple. I like it a lot. Very, very cool.
How are you guys acquiring new users today?
So we just, since we started our Republic fundraising campaign, we also picked up some marketing campaigns on Facebook and Snapchat, and we are acquiring, we've 10x our user acquisition rate since November. So since in January, we've, you know, had over 200 new requests from users. And it's growing like crazy. We have a very low cost of acquisition right now, especially on Snapchat.
Yeah, Snapchat actually called us and said, what the heck are you guys doing? Because our acquisition...
Did you ask them the same question? What the heck are you guys doing? That's a legit question.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got to wrap up here, but I want to thank you for making a shout out. Where do people go to invest in the campaign if you can give us the quick information?
So you can go to republic.co/silkroll to invest in the campaign.
And that's SILKROLL.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys very much. I really appreciate you guys taking the time.
Good job, guys.
Thanks. Thank you.
We will come back to this after the news break here, but wow, I love companies that are run by people who weren't in that industry that just saw it and were like, what are you guys doing?
Totally.
Free customer acquisition, basically, and free supply. Unbelievable. I'm Scott Cajun. This is Steve Galanis. You're listening to WGN Radio AM 720. We'll be back after break. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Cajun. You're listening to Technoid Live at WGN Radio AM 720. Joining us, Steve Galanis, Cameo. What's going on, buddy?
This is great.
You having a good time? Isn't this like... It's hard to imagine that there's a way for me to make money doing this.
Yeah, the other thing that's like incredible just about this, I feel like I've just been pitching my business for so long. It's just amazing to be on the other side of the table.
Yeah, and listen to it, right? So this is the funny part. Like, I can make money doing this, but then I throw it all away because I invest in these. Like, I invest probably on average every Saturday somewhere between like $150 and $300 in companies that call in because I'm, you know, like... One, I'm hopeless when it comes to startups. And two, we get some good companies. Like this is the only place in the stage. We're going to actually come back with our showcase event is back in 2018 on February 20th at IIT. There'll be information on technori.com and all over social coming up next week. But we are the only place where companies from Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, all over the place that come in and pitch, whether it's live or on the show, that you can literally invest in. So it's, I just like that, you know, you hear a million pitches, but you never can do anything with it. Now you can.
Yeah, and that live event, like, I did it, obviously, when we did the Future Media Showcase, like, I think it was probably the worst pitch of all time. Like,
I don't think it was bad, no.
I remember, like, I couldn't use the clicker and everything, but
oh, yeah, that's right, I forgot.
But the thing that's great about it is, like, to this day, I have so many people throughout the community that are like, man, I heard about you guys at Technori, it got us on our radar. I think it's really helped us for recruiting and just getting the word out. So.
Awesome. Well, that's obviously stuff I always want to hear. So we are going to kind of chat now on the next company coming up here called The Cut. And we've got, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Obi Omiale. I'm not sure. He's going to clarify because obviously I'm the worst ever at names. But he runs a company called The Cut, which is also raising on Republic right now. You can check him out at republic.co/The Cut. They just started the campaign, so everything is just kind of getting rolling. But their very first public pitch on this is going to be right now. So without further ado, Obi, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on, Scott.
And of course.
The proper pronunciation of the last name is Omiale.
Omiale. That's a nice, I like your name. I want to take your name. I just got to figure out how to pronounce it first. Obi Omiale. I got it.
It's got a great sound.
It does. It's just like sound, it kind of rolls right off the tongue.
Doesn't it?
It absolutely does. So what I want to do is we're going to give you 3 minutes. You can pitch what The Cut is, and then Steve and I are going to ask you some questions. And, of course, anyone out in the audience, if you want to call in or tweet or text or whatever, it is 312-981-7200. Without further ado, Obi Omiale, what is The Cut?
Hi, and as you said, my name is Obi, and The Cut is a first mobile platform modernizing the barbershop experience. Barbers can create their profile, uploading past haircuts they've done, upload their services and their location and hours, giving clients the complete ability and convenience to book appointments at their own convenience, and then to book and pay the barber through the app, creating an Uber-like experience, giving everyone a more seamless and productive haircut experience. And that's what The Cut does.
Very cool. And succinct, which is what I like. So my first thing here is this for barbers, men only?
No, it's not. This is for the barbershop community, which of modern days has started to include a lot more women.
Sure.
Especially with some of the natural hair movements and like the new stylish trends. A lot of women are now visiting barbers and barbershops to get designs and fades and cuts into their hair.
And I'm going to give you a little bit of validation. I think Steve also can chime in on this because I know that you've hung out with some Hollywood folks, so you know what a good look looks like. But one of the things that I've noticed is like I like to get, you know, I guess in some places they call it getting lined up or whatever like that, and they like to get, you know, looking sharp, and so they have the cuts in. Like, you got to go out of your way to the barber to do that, and it's a pain in the butt because, you know, you're busy, you're running around. So like right off the bat, is it like a straight up value that's offered immediately with this? I see that. For me personally, after a stressful week or a long day or whatever, I like to get like a real shave, like the whole treatment and everything, kind of Godfather style. And like I don't want to, I want the whole deal. And like, I don't want to go running around like and waiting in line and like have to, you know, it's just a pain in the butt. And it's not easy. So I absolutely see as people's hair trends and stuff are changing and more towards something that it's kind of like a weekly haircut or a lineup, the need for this. Steve, what do you see as far as things that are interesting about The Cut and things that maybe you are curious about?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that you phrase this as a community is a really powerful thing. I mean, you go into a barbershop and like it really is a community.
Yeah.
Like, that's the center of anything, and it really is like a part of people's like day-to-day routine. And I know personally, like, I'm very particular about who cuts my hair.
Yeah.
Not that I have like a stylish haircut or anything, but you just like kind of, at least I'm not.
It's more important than my doctor, I can tell you that.
Oh, totally. But I'm not one to like kind of jump from person to person. So I guess like
that's a lifestyle choice, Steve. That's not a haircut choice. I'm just not one of those people.
It really is like that. The relationship that many clients have with their barbers like is longer than some have with their doctors. Like, once you find the guy who you trust with your hair, like, that's something that everyone's going to see. Like, you're not going to risk and put that into someone else's hands. Like, once you find your barber, you're going to stick to him. And we just make it easier. So now, next time you want to go see him, you don't have to just walk into the shop and hope that he's available. Now you can book your appointment sitting at home and then walk into the shop and know that you'll be next in the chair.
Well, as a person who knows a little bit about commerce online via app and online, trying to connect people, Steve, who's the founder of Cameo, which you should definitely check out. Obi, if you haven't. But Steve, what are some of the things that you see as challenges or things that, that Obi's going to have to pay attention to as he starts to get this user base up?
So I guess two things. Like, number one for me, like, I think pretty obviously is like when you find your guy, like, why do you need to keep going back? I think, yep. I think there has to be like a lot of value prop. Like, I know what my, I know my barber's number. Like, I can text him, like, you know, I can ask him when that is. On the other side, like, I'm really interested to just hear Obi, like, what's the reception so far in the barber community? Like, how are you getting them? I'm sure it's like a pretty tough market to go. Like, you're probably going on Yelp and different things like that to find names. But like, tell me about your acquisition strategy right now on the supply side.
Definitely. And so I'll address the first point initially. So the value prop that we offer is not just a discovery piece, but it's more of the consistency and convenience. So once you do have a barber, you still have to go and visit that guy. I know for many of the people that we service, when you go in to see your barber, you could still end up waiting 2 hours just to see him because there are other clients that are waiting. So now we've given you the ability to book appointments 24/7. Now that you, so when you walk into a barbershop, you don't have to spend 2 hours waiting. Now you get those 2 hours back for yourself. That's one of the huge offerings that we have for clients. Now, in terms of barber acquisition, in under 2 years, we've got almost 10,000 barbers signed up on our platform today. And a lot of that's been done organically and through social media because for them, there's a huge need of the value that we have in the app in terms of appointment scheduling. Because for them, they have to deal with a lot of no-shows from clients, a lot of overbookings. And you mentioned just texting your clients. Every time a barber has to stop cutting hair, like, that takes almost a minute and a half of his time. So you can imagine doing that with each of his clients. They can lose 10 to 15 hours of productivity every month just managing those text messages. So for them, the app reduces that overhead and helps them grow their business.
I feel you on the wait time. My boys and I went down to New Orleans for my 30th birthday a couple of weeks ago, and we all got haircuts. Like, on that day, there were seven of us. We called this barbershop up, and I swear to God, I was in this barbershop for like over 3 hours waiting. And they're like, "Yeah, come in. We got it's plenty real. Of capacity." And it was just one guy that was servicing yep. us, and each cut was like an hour and 15 minutes.
I did the same thing for me. Whenever I would try to get a haircut, like, "Can I come in a minute?" And Jose's like, "Oh yeah, come on in, sit out." I would sit there and watch like two or three people go by, and just like, dude, time is money, friend. Like, this is real. But here's the thing. I want to make sure people understand, like, and if they haven't checked you out, like I said before, republic.co/thecut, you've done, according to the numbers here, 450,000 appointments booked, facilitating over 9 million worth of haircuts. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. And just yesterday, that now is 500,000 appointments. So
boom,
that is a little closer to 10 million now.
Friday was a big day for you.
Milestones.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Absolutely.
We've been celebrating. It's been a hard 2 years, but worth it.
Very, very cool. Thank you.
Ovi, real quick, yeah. Did you guys start focusing in like a particular geographic region, or are you all over the place right now?
Nationwide. We're in all but two states around the country. We're in 48 states. We have a few barbers in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, what states are you missing?
The only states we're not in is Maine and Vermont.
Well, who needs them? I mean, I like lobster, but otherwise, like, Vermont is a total waste of my time.
We like to get to them eventually, but yeah, like, we got 48 more states that we got a chance to focus on. And I know, as you guys have talked about, a lot of offerings that we have is, in the recent years, what you've seen is men's now attention has turned to their appearance and the upkeep.
Yep.
I think it was in 2015, it was the first year men's grooming surpassed females' grooming in Google searches. So what we've seen is a huge opportunity for commerce in terms of product distribution and allowing men and people in the culture to buy products like at the point of like grooming need when talking to the barber. So that's kind of what the next phase of our business will look like over the next 12 months.
Very cool. I appreciate you taking the time to come in and the best of luck. We will be sharing, if you haven't checked already, on Facebook. If anyone's got questions, we posted the links to both to Silk Roll and The Cut on the Technori Facebook page. So check it out and go ahead and write some comments and questions. And I hope that Obi and Janet can check in and answer them if there are any at all. And of course, Steve and I have some work ahead of us after we come back from the break here. We're going to have to determine if we want to invest in one or both of what's going on, because we just heard two awesome pitches. Obi, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Obi. That was great.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me, you guys.
Of course. Anytime. Best of luck. So I think we, you too. I think we kind of talked about this before. We're going to have the showcase again in February 20th. And I actually think Obi is one of the companies that's going to be coming here to Chicago to pitch on the stage. So we'll keep you all attuned on that stuff. But anyway,
where's he located now?
You know what? We should have probably asked that. I'm going to look right now and see if I can find it. We will come back with the answer to where Obi currently exists. But I promise I will bring you that answer. We're going to come back after this break here. Steve Galanis, Scott Catoon, you're listening to WGN AM 720. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. We are in our final segment here with Steve. Thank you for taking the time to come in today on actually a sunny, nice Saturday.
Well, the only thing that I would rather be doing is my Dukies are playing Virginia big.
We could have turned that on the TV. We have TVs in here. I don't know what was going on.
I know. I wanted to be focused.
Well, you know what I'm focused on? I think there's after-show drinks going on. That's what I feel like is going on today. So we're going to reminisce a little bit on the two pitches we saw. We talked a little bit about this offline. I think... I'd love to know your position on this, because this is like literally in your wheelhouse of business. And from my perspective, I like the mechanics and the infrastructure capabilities of Silk Roll. I love the idea that you can basically just have this endless supply of stuff that they get to move and they get to sell and do all this stuff with. I love the idea of the cut. I just wonder, having worked with many, we've had like three or four companies on Technori that have been in this sort of space, and it's just, they can get much more user adoption quickly, but they struggle to make it work, and they're easy to sort of like circumvent.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too that, if I'm thinking about both these companies, is obviously the challenge on both sides is just building that capacity. With the cut, like, there's no reason for a barber not to be on, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just free money, in the same way that like any talent comes on Cameo and it's like an additional revenue stream. The thing I'm really interested about Silk Row is the fact that like it kind of like takes, expands out, like something that happens all the time. Like, women like love trading clothes.
Yep.
And they have these closets, and I remember kind of prior to Cameo, like, I did residential real estate and a little bit on the side, and like, it was always so interesting. You find this like amazing unit, and then the closet wasn't big enough, right?
Yeah.
But like, why the heck do they have, like, do you have to have that much stuff all the time? Like,
That's a question that you're gonna have to ask. I asked my girlfriend this when I moved in, and I can just say this right now. She's probably not listening because she's tired of hearing about me. But my closet, I now have like one tiny roll, and I have one drawer. That's all I got. And I don't have a lot of stuff. I wear what I'm wearing now. It's like sweatpants.
I mean, my poor dad, like, I don't even know if he has like a single drawer. Like,
so that's what I have to look forward to. That's awesome.
My mom, I think, has like every one of the closets, in our house, including like my old bedroom. There's stuff in it. I think there's even stuff in my condo down.
I feel like they could move and sell stuff. I don't mean it's all women, obviously. There's lots of men who, as the cut pointed out, there's a lot of men who are now in the, dressing up and looking nice stuff.
Totally.
But you know what? One of the reasons that I thought was a great explanation, but Aaron made from Silk Roll was that it's cumbersome to move stuff out. Like, you feel bad. There's guilt associated with throwing out or giving away a $500 dress or a pair of shoes that cost $300 that were worn once. So you just keep it out of like premise, basically.
Totally.
But then, like, to actually sell it and move it, it's like, well, oh my god, like, I'm not actually going to set the market and try to sell this on eBay and take pictures. It's just not worth my time. They're creating a place where it's like, no, it's guilt-free. This is gonna go to somebody's home, and you're gonna get points. You can buy more stuff with it.
Yeah, there's some other like players in that space though. Like, I know my co-founder's wife like loves The Real, which is one of them, and I think like Rent the Runway
is obviously the first one that
there's other things, but like, I think this point-based like community to me is like really interesting.
We only have a minute left, but I dare I say this and leave it alone at 10 seconds to go, is I just see blockchain all over this.
Yeah.
Like, the point system, like, you create a blockchain where all of the clothing lives on a blockchain and a person just mines for clothes.
They should be ICOing.
Oh, well, we can do that. They can. They're on Republic. So you can actually invest in their campaign right now on Republic / Silk Roll using Bitcoin. You can actually use Bitcoin now to invest in it, because Republic launched this crypto thing. So I got to wrap it up here, Steve. This has been a good time, but I want to ask you, where would you put my money?
I like Silk Roll a lot, and the fact that you can put Bitcoin in it, I think my mom's become a crypto enthusiast. I'm sure
everybody's mom is now.
I'm sure she'll be investing in it as well.
Nice. Yeah. No disrespect to the cut. I like the model. I just think personally, as an investor, I can personally more identify with the clothing premise. So I'm gonna go ahead and throw my money in that and share it. But I will definitely share the cut, and I think you guys should take a look at it and look at both of them. Make a choice on your own. Steve and I just are one side of the opinion. I'm sure all the barbers out there are going, you made a mistake. But anyway, Steve, this has been great. Where do people go to learn more about Cameo?
Yeah, bookcameo.com. Check us out. We're at bookcameo on all the socials. We got about 1,000 new talent on. So I think when I pitched Technori, we had like under 100.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Like all types of new people.
Give me a one sentence proposition for why I should use Cameo for my kids.
I mean, most unique gift ever, and you've got Scott's newly engaged. He's got Valentine's Day coming up. Perfect Valentine's Day present. It's amazing.
That's actually, boom, I like that. Sorry, Jen, you just got your Valentine's Day given away on the show. Folks, we appreciate you listening. We'll catch you next week. As always, please follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. Follow me at Katoon. If you have any questions after the show or you want to get connected to people, let me know. Steve, one more time, where do they go?
Bookcameo.com, and we're hiring guys, so if you want to come work for us, check out our website.
Can I be on your site as like one of the micro celebrities?
We'll get you signed up.
Yes!
All about the long tail, Scott.
Yes, long tail. Ponytails it is. All right, folks, thank you very much, and we're going to come back here with Dane Neal, who has got an amazing show coming up.